League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rise and shine, sports investors. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Wednesday, September 30th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez, and with me, as always, I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, burning the candle at both ends, trying to give you all the information you need to make it a profitable day. And if you stick with us, you know, we try to put the fun and functional sports content at the same time. And Kev? Yankees are healthy, you know, and that is pretty much what we said we needed to do. And there was a scouting report somewhere out there that the way to get to Shane Bieber was to attack the fastballs early in the count. They absolutely did that to the tune of a 12-3 victory. Aaron Judge had us all rising very early on. You and I talked about this all day yesterday, on air, off air. Two things I believe are very important from this, besides the offensive explosion, right? This game, by the way, with a total of 6.5, went over. But Kev was the only of the three of the four games to go over. So we'll talk about all of this. But for me, the biggest takeaway is that when you pay Garrett Cole an exorbitant amount of money, right? And you know that it breaks down to like, you know, $1 million per start. And then we have a condensed 60-game season. So instead of 32 starts, the man makes like 11, right? He is not paid for any of those regular season starts. He is paid to be an ace. And what that means is I want to feel comfortable and confident as a Yankees fan that in game one of a series, I don't care who's on the other side. I don't care if it's the presumptive Cy Young Award winner. It doesn't matter. I feel like I have the edge because I have that guy on the mound. And we'll talk about the offensive explosion. But Garrett Cole, like, you know, did what he had to do, did what he was brought in to do for the Yankees yesterday, striking out 12.
Striking out 13. Don't give my guy
13, even better.
Hey,
even better.
From the ace. Come on now.
Even better.
13 Ks. Sit him up, sit him down. Get this team out of here. Oh my goodness. You want to wait on the offensive explosion? Fine. We'll wait. Shane Bieber, I'm coming for you though. Garrett Cole. Right away. First postseason start in pinstripes. It was road grays. I don't know if it still counts, but you get the point. Seven strong, two earned.
Yeah.
13 Ks, 105 pitches. Dominant. Yeah. He came out early. Looked mean. Sitting fools down.
I mean, it helps that he had a 2-0 lead to start, right? It helps that before he even towed the slab, he had two runs. Because honestly, when you're thinking about Shane Bieber, right, we're like, uh-oh, this is going to be 1-0 in the seventh, right? But that, I think the runs that they got in the first early on does help the mindset. But honestly, right, Kev, I mean, he's not brought in. We didn't need another game three starter. We didn't need another arm like a Lance Lynn or a J.A. Happ that have been brought in. We needed that dude at the top of the rotation. I remember, Kev, as a Yankee fan facing the Astros and being like, oh, they're throwing Cole. Oh, well, right? Like, I want to give opponents that feeling. And, you know, maybe the key is the personal catcher. I don't know, but he's looked good recently.
He's looked fantastic. I mean, he has. And the thing is, you could see this coming because we said that not only was he starting to get better, but typically in the second half is when Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Gerrit Cole for everybody that is going up against him. It's exactly what we saw here in game number one.
Absolutely. As we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, including the mightier 1090 out there on the West Coast, you know, whoever wins this series, Kev, is going to be in a bubble in San Diego down right there with the mightier 1090. They may be watching the Yankees. Okay, you want to talk offensive explosion? Let's do it, Kev. Here's the question I have for you, though, right? And we talked about this throughout the day yesterday. I think it's very interesting and something that we didn't focus on much yesterday. You only played this regional division of yours all season long, right? So Shane Bieber, who wins this triple crown for pitching, did it all against the AL Central and the NL Central, right? So is there something to it that maybe he was pitching a different competition? Maybe that the Yankees had a book on him, just never had a chance to show that they could expose it? Do you think the lack of familiarity helped or hurt anybody? Or is it that the Yankees just had a good plan and attack? It seemed like they were not worried about that big hook. It seemed like they were trying to jump on Bieber early with the fastball. I mean, Gardner did it. LeMahieu did it. A bunch of people, it seemed like that was the book on him.
Yeah, I don't think that ultimately Shane Bieber is going to win a Cy Young because he was fortunate enough to pitch in the Central. He was outrageous. Give him all credit in the world.
But it's odd, though, that going into a series, they don't at least have a, you know, old start in May to look back on.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, that was kind of the nature of all this. But listen, I mean, it's not the first time the Indians sent out a dominant closer who can't be touched against the New York Yankees and he gets touched up. I mean, the question was, how will the
Corey Yankees, Kluber, where are you at?
How will the Yankees hit Shane Bieber? The answer was early and often. Early and often. I mean, it was four pitches into the game and it was 2-0. I said 7-1 Yankees all day. My apologies, it won't happen again for selling this offense short. I mean, Bieber did give up seven earned himself. I mean, listen, this is what we were talking about. And people think, oh, Yankees fans, man, you Yankee fans, you think your team's so great. Yep, we do. Because every time they've been healthy, this is what's happened. Aaron Judge would have won MVP had he never got hurt. LeMahieu's going to win MVP. Voit's going to finish top five in MVP. My guy, Giancarlo Stanton, sends one out. Brett Gardner's on fire. Gleyber Torres is back. A happy Gleyber Day, by the way, to everybody. It's a lovely scene. The Yanks are healthy.
It is. The Yanks are healthy. That was the thing we were talking about. Masahiro Tanaka is the most important Yankee, though. We'll talk about it coming back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here onto the early line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid, Dana and Kevin. And Kev, you know, yeah, it was a dominant performance by the Yankees yesterday, right? But ultimately, and, you know, I'm as happy as you are, right? But ultimately, it's 1-0, right? It don't matter if they won that game 3-2. It don't matter if they won that game 15-2, right? It's the series stands at 1-0. They need to get one of the next two games to advance to the next round out there in San Diego and go to the bubble. And the way they're going to try and do that is by bringing out Masahiro Tanaka against Carlos Carrasco in game two. The Yankees have moved to a big series favorite, and they are favorite in game two, which will happen tonight at 7:05 Eastern time. They're minus 126. The total has inched up to 7.5, but that's low if you expect that Yankee offensive output, I guess. Huh, Kev? What do you see happening tonight?
Well, what's really interesting is, you know, last night on In Game Live, there actually wasn't a lot of games on towards the end of the show. And we had this line posted, and the total was 8. And you could tell by the juice that it could possibly be on its way down. And it's down here to 7.5. And I can't help but look at the total and look at the Yankees as minus 126 favorites and think that there might be a misstep somewhere, but I'm just not sure where. Because if the Yankees are minus 126 favorites, I mean, Dane, Carrasco, Tanaka. I mean, do you view Tanaka as that type of an edge over Carrasco? Carrasco was probably better during the regular season. Masahiro Tanaka has a good postseason reputation. Carrasco, in about 10 innings, though, has been real good in his postseason career. Like, I would think the minus 126 right. would be the, I guess the book just found out that the Yankees had the most runs in the American League and the Indians had the second fewest runs. But then the 7.5 has to be low, right?
Right. I think it's two things when it comes to the side. One is that you mentioned it. Masahiro Tanaka does have a record of playoff success. So I think that is a part of it. And when you talk about Carrasco, yeah, he's strong and he had a good regular season, but you still have to index them almost as severely, you know, still dropping down from the Indians with Shane Bieber on the mound. Right. So whatever they were viewed at with Bieber in game one, there has to be a drop down to Carrasco for game two. Remember, this Cleveland Indians offense was one of the worst in the American League. Right. Their saving grace was the supposed dominance they'd have every fifth day when Shane Bieber was there. So I think, you know, there is a drop in the way you index the Indians going from Bieber down to Carrasco.
Right. But Cole down to Tanaka would be a comparable drop off, I think, to most. I think the argument is either you back Cleveland or, right, and you think that there's too much of an overreaction here. Carrasco is, at the minimum, just as good as Tanaka. I still have home field advantage. The plus number's the way to go. Or you lean towards the Yankees, and I think then that's probably a lean towards the over. Because 7.5 in a game in which the New York Yankees participate is very, very hard to ignore. I think this is a spot where I think you can make a strong argument that there's value on the plus money for Carlos Carrasco. But this is the thing I said coming into this series. There's two spots that exist in these playoffs where I was basically like, listen, I'm tired of the all that matters is who's getting thrown out to the mound. And this was one of them. Yankees offense is way better than Cleveland's. Mm-hmm. And we saw that take part in game number one.
We did. We will see. You know, I will continue to mention this, Kev, all throughout the baseball playoffs. There's a tried and true saying in baseball that momentum is the name of tomorrow's starting pitcher. So we will see what happens when Carrasco and Tanaka face off. Another series that got underway yesterday was Houston, Minnesota. And I want to ask you about this because this one, like, profiled so much like I personally thought was going to happen. You know, the Twins were playing well. They had their lead. They have a key error, though, right, towards the end of the game. And then, you know, not I don't want to say the floodgates open, but you have these kind of professional hitters working solid at bats in, you know, Springer and Altuve getting, like, bases loaded walks. Greinke was strong for four or five innings. Then they bring in Franmier, and they get it done. They win 4-1. And now look at the flip in this series. You were saying that you were going to be very intrigued by what would happen if any of these underdogs win game one. We have that occurrence here with the Houston Astros going to Minnesota getting a 4-1 win.
Here's the thing. I understand you say that this went the way you saw it going. Mm-hmm. The Twins had a chance to blow this thing up in the first inning. They sent Rosario and Sano to the plate with one out. And, well, Rosario to the plate with one out, bases loaded. He doesn't make good. And then up comes Sano with two outs, and he also doesn't make good. And right there, they had the chance to send Greinke packing. Right there. He looked as shaky as I thought he might look. And then he was just able to find a bit of a groove. And then also, I don't really know, again, unless I missed press conference quotes, anybody who thought Valdez was coming in to pick up the next five innings of work after Greinke only went four. If you would have told me, as someone who liked the Twins coming into this set, that Greinke was only going to go four and it was going to be the Astros bullpen for the next five, then you feel good about that position. But it was Valdez, who I thought could have got the ball to start a game two or a game three. And it clearly worked out for the Astros. They saw the importance in getting that first win, and he came in and he was fantastic for them.
He was.
So that was, to me, there were, you know, the Twins missed out in the first inning to blow the game open. And then a shift made by Dusty Baker to go to Valdez out of the pen allowed the Astros to keep pace the whole time. And ultimately they made good against Sergio Romo and they found themselves with a 4-1 lead. And even still, the Twins in the ninth inning put a couple of guys on with an opportunity.
They had Presley up in the bullpen, but Valdez still was able to get it done.
Hitting.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the thing, Kev. And when I say things like, oh, it played out the way I want, here's part of what I mean. You mentioned kind of missed opportunities, right? Early in the game to bang Greinke out or get to a big lead. To me, the error that happened that got helped the Astros get their first run, I believe in the sixth or seventh. That's the kind of thing, the missed opportunities, defensive lapses. Kev, that's the kind of thing that a team that's lost like 16 or 17 playoff games in a row, those are the things that happen, right? Those are the things that happen to those teams that wind up losing those high leverage games. And the Astros are the kind of veteran experience-laden team that makes good on that, right? Like can convert or when Romo is walking people, when there is an error to make the coaching decision to kind of keep them close in the middle parts of the games. And you're right, Valdez was great. He is was supposed to, I think, be the game two starter. And so there is no lineup for game two of this series just yet. We do know, Kev, though, that Minnesota will be sending their, you know, presumptive ace, Jose Berrios, to the mound. We do not know the starter just yet for the Houston Astros because it looks like they're trying to save McCullers if and when there is a game three.
You know, this is the thing, though. That error, like, the Twins only had one earned run to their name, was the run that came in the seventh. All of those ninth inning runs were ended up being unearned as they should have got out of that inning. And that...
No, really Houston got one in seventh. Houston got one in the seventh.
Yeah, right. They scored a run in the seventh. That was the earned run.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of the ninth inning runs were unearned is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So
that's the kind of stuff that happens is what I'm saying.
Right, but I well, and I guess my point is like those are... If the belief is that the Twins just are basically a cursed organization and will never be able to make good on the bases loaded, and every time that they have the chance to get out of an inning are going to throw the ball away, then maybe that's the thing. I mean, the Clippers can't get to the Western Conference Finals. Mike D'Antoni can't get to the NBA Finals. Like, sometimes there might just be these ceilings that exist. I don't know. You know, the odds of the Twins losing 17 consecutive postseason games is astronomical. Yet here we are. This is a spot, though, where I think I'll be willing to come back to the team that lost game number one. Because I think it was just a few moments that were the difference in not just a Twins victory, but kind of a dominant Twins victory. At plus 190, they're likely favored to win this game. And if you do that, you're sat there with a team at plus 190 who would be still favored then to win game number three.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Remember, there is the saying out there, somehow teams find ways to lose. And if you're going to lose 17 playoff games in a row, these are kinds of the ways you lose. We'll talk about two dominant pitching performances in the AL when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Back right here on the grid. This is the early line. I'm Kevin Walsh alongside my guy, Dane Martinez. And Dane, still two more games to get to out in the American League.
Yeah, absolutely. As we also welcome in our radio audience from around the country here back onto the grid, including out there the mightier 1090. And Kev, I got people out there on the West Coast, okay? And that's why I hope they all are safe with the wildfires that are going on. I got A's fans out there, right? And in my text messages back and forth with them yesterday, I was saying to them what I said to you, that it's disrespect that they were like minus 108 on both sides for the series price as the 2 versus 7. But let me tell you something. With Lucas Giolito on the mound yesterday, it did not matter. He was perfect for much of this game. Had it broken up, I believe, in the 7th, but it was enough to still cruise. Lucas Giolito dazzled. Jose Abreu went yard. Engel went yard. The White Sox get the first game of this one as a road team. They go into the Bay and win 4-1.
So Giolito deserves the credit, but this is a spot. You know, yesterday, Dan, we're doing the show, we're talking about leans, plays, different things, right? This was the only game that I actually put literal money down on. Because as the day advanced, it wasn't disrespect towards Oakland. Oakland ended up with a bad matchup, it seems like. I don't want to go crazy, okay? But it almost gave me a Miami-Milwaukee vibe, in a way.
Hmm.
You see the stat that we've posted here, the graphic. The A's, or rather, excuse me, the White Sox, with that win yesterday, moved to 15-0 against lefty starters. Yeah. I mean, it almost begs the question, like, was Lizardo even startable in this series? And I know he's supposed to be their young stud, but we saw it. We saw it pay off. Like, he got hit. They took him deep, and he was all right. The strikeout pitch was working at points, but it was almost as if the A's were conceding game one. And I know they weren't, but due to what we've seen from the White Sox this year, to have their best pitcher on the mound and then for the A's to be throwing a lefty, it's like they absolutely had no chance. And you saw it early. You saw it early. They were able to get to Lizardo, and then, of course, Giolito, literally perfect through 6, then found a 2-inning groove where he struck out 5 of 6 batters and goes over his strikeout prop. He pitched into the 8th inning. 2 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 8 Ks. An incredible performance from Giolito.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Kev, it's interesting. We've been making the point because, you know, this idea of the starters at the top of the rotation in the playoffs and hanging your hat on that. And one of the things you have said is, like, most of these teams have great aces who are capable, right? And it's so interesting where the AL Cy Young Award winner in Bieber gets blown up. Meanwhile, you know, when you were looking at all the names on the marquee of the starting pitchers, right, a lot of people were intrigued by Cole and Bieber. A lot of people were excited about, like, you know, what – Blake Snell would do with Tampa, and Giolito comes out and is like, hey, don't forget about me. He was perfect through six. So let me ask you this, though, because I see the game today that's on tap, right, for 3 o'clock Eastern time back in Oakland. And Oakland is minus 124 today with Chris Bassett on the hill against Dallas Keuchel. And this series, Kev, was minus 108 on both sides, remember, before game one. So does that mean that, like, Giolito was the reason the White Sox were kind of even money with the A's in this series? Because now maybe it's in the pitching matchup here for Bassett versus Keuchel, but Keuchel is experienced. Keuchel has been here before. Why are the A's coming back as minus 124 favorites today?
Yeah, I think what we learned, though, as well, is it probably was not just Giolito, but also the fact that the A's were throwing, albeit a good lefty, a lefty. And here they are today. I wonder if there's any desire to give them some juice facing elimination. There clearly isn't that desire with Cleveland. We'll see with Minnesota. Right. We'll talk about it in the next game. Of course, they're still home. And Bassett is their ace. But this is why this is tough. You know, Bassett had the sixth best ERA, pitching below a 2-3. Keuchel the third in the American League, pitching below a 2. And the way these bats are, listen, there's a gap in lineup here. There is. And I think we learned, you know, even yesterday when you watched things, man, these lineups don't matter. Like, because there's everyone is throwing, we said it, these good pitchers. And the A's are showing up without Matt Chapman. So real, that's important, man. Like, this guy is a legitimate MVP candidate. Legit. And on the other side, the White Sox have Jose Abreu, who might win American League MVP this year. Tim Anderson finished second in the batting title after being first in the batting title last year. Yoan Moncada, Louis Robert, Eloy Grandal. Like, Eloy didn't even play.
But I'm saying this young lineup, they've got it. The question is, can Bassett, who is their ace, hold up to the billing, right? Because he's getting the money. He's the ace. So he needs to perform here today in game two, or else the A's will be done.
Of course. Yeah, I think it's, for me, at plus money, I lean towards the White Sox. Also, okay. I'm hoping maybe the 7 gets bought back up to 7.5. And maybe we do play it under, though, because yesterday was 4-1. And realistically, just based, if you're just going to go off ERA, these are the two aces of these teams. And they couldn't get over this number yesterday. So maybe there's still even enough juice there on the 7. I don't think there's a world where it gets down to 6.5. So I'm okay waiting on the total. And today, this could be another spot where you want to play it to the under.
All right, fair enough. You know, remember, unders did come in 3 of the 4 games yesterday. Maybe these, you know, pitchers, the playoffs, as it happens with other sports. And then the Yankees threw that completely out the window last night. The last game that took place yesterday, it's round out the AL Game 1s. Tampa Bay gets the job done at home against Toronto. We talk about how great Giolito was. Not far behind was Snell. He had a no-hitter through 6 innings. They get the job done. They go up 3-1. You know, they win 3-1. They go up 1-0 in the series. I mean, and now they've got Glasnow ready to go here, I believe, in game 2. It was interesting to me, though, the Toronto Blue Jays decided to hold off on their ace until today, right? Hyung-Jin Ryu is going to go today for Toronto. Maybe they're just, you know, so that he has normal rest, so that is a kind of normal occurrence for him, and they can optimize what they get out of their ace, because that might be their only shot today.
The thing is, for the Blue Jays, that is a tough loss to take yesterday. Because we can look at Blake Snell was great. But not only were they in it, man, the predetermined pitching changes is what you heard a lot of Blue Jays fans complaining about. They made the decision to go to Shoemaker to start this game. And through three innings, great call. Three innings of
work. And then they bring in Ray anyway.
Gave up two. But Daniel Lee had 35 pitches to his name. You know, he's gone. You know, this is a guy that's gone six innings plenty of times on the season. It's not like this is an opener. And then you bring in Robbie Ray. And to be fair, like, Robbie Ray was also good. Like, he gave up the one earned run. Okay. I mean, that's not catastrophic. Through three innings, he only gave up one hit. Struck out five. I mean, the runner scored on a wild pitch, right? It was a triple and then a wild pitch. Yep. And he only threw 60 pitches. Probably had a little bit more legs under him. And then they bring in A.J. Cole. So, you know, of course, look, when we go through these games, man, hindsight's 20/20, but I think it's okay to question, did they really need to have this quick trip? I mean, imagine if their approach, Dane, was what the Astros did. Greinke to Valdez, that was how they got nine innings. If this team was able to go Shoemaker to Ray, you know, this game stays tighter a bit longer. And the Blue Jays have to sit there and look at their bats and be frustrated. Look, the Rays are going to be a tough team to score against. Blake Snell had it going, and they've got a great bullpen. But they had traffic on the bases. They left six guys on compared to only three left on for the Rays. They had guys in key spots. And maybe you could say inexperience shown. I'm not sure. And there's a lot of people who backed the Blue Jays getting a run and a half who felt really hard done by on this result. And I just think it's a game where they now turn to Ryu, and I think they're still right there in the mix. It just feels like a spot where unless they win these next two, Blue Jays fans will be left thinking about what could have been, because that's a game they should have been even deeper into the game, probably tied on level footing with the Rays than they were.
I mean, they definitely had a chance. I don't know if you saw it. Early in the game, they did interview Montoya from the dugout, you know? And he literally said, we have a plan. We're just not telling you. So this was their plan on how to do it. You know, I was intrigued by this. I saw our homegirl, Ariel Epstein, go with the Shoemaker K-prop on yesterday's show. And I was like, he might be an opener. He might be the opener. There was
The conversation.
Because I'm just saying, if you look at his game log, he hadn't gone a long time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the final game of the year, he only went three. But before that, 5-4, 6-4, 2-6. I mean, you know, it's a guy who had – and the purpose of him was the games that he had pitched against the Rays. So you take those three starts against the Rays, and he was going deep into those games. So, you know, much deeper than three, I'll tell you that. Much deeper than
I hear you. Well, at least they have their ace on the hill right now in game two, right? Because if you lose game one, game two is such a leverage spot, right? And at least Toronto will be sending out Ryu. At least Minnesota will be sending out Berrios in their effort to keep their seasons alive today. There are eight baseball games today. It starts at noon. It won't end until midnight. And we take a look at the National League when we come back. We got game ones in those series. We've got pitching matchups. We told you kind of our leans on the series in yesterday's show. We'll look at the four games in the National League. They're game ones aplenty. We'll talk about them when we come back on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody. Right here onto the Early Line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. Kev, yesterday the American League got started. We had some interesting games. We had offensive explosions. We had almost perfect games and no hitters. So what waits on the horizon for us in the National League today? I mean, today, literally starting at like noon, going all the way through the entire day, through the entire night, through the game of the NBA Finals, there will be baseball all day long. And it starts with what I think could be one of the best pitching matchups of the day, Kev. I know you. We're on opposite sides on this one. The Atlanta Braves host the Cincinnati Reds, and I'm intrigued by this pitching matchup. Max Fried for Atlanta, Trevor Bauer for Cincinnati. Trevor Bauer was the pitcher of the month in September, led the National League in ERA and in WHIP. You made the point that Fried, I believe, led the National League pitchers in WAR. So the idea of these as two Cy Young candidates facing off in a game one of a best of three series is incredibly tasty to me. My question, though, when we had Colin Bieber, it got all the way down to 6.5. This one is still at 7.5, and it is Fried and the Braves that are minus 132 favorites.
So this line was moving last night in the direction that I was wanting it to move. As the during the show last night, the Braves went from minus 138 to minus 126 to minus 122. Mm. And the Reds were all the way down, I think, only plus 106. Now there was clearly some buyback here on the Atlanta Braves. So tough to tell where this line is going to settle. There might not be as much of, or maybe the Reds money line can only go so far until people end up buying back on the Braves. But Dan, I ask you, I view this very similarly to what we just saw with the Yankees and the Indians. Bauer versus Fried reminds me of Cole versus Bieber. Not as high profile, but I think those are apt comparisons. The lineup, though, I think unquestionably favors the Atlanta Braves. And the only difference is the Braves are home, unlike the Yankees were yesterday. I get it. Bauer was excellent, but so was Fried. So I look at this as the pitching matchup being basically a wash. So I've got the home team with a better lineup. That's why it's Braves for me.
All right, fair enough. You know, I've been on Trevor Bauer. I have a soft spot in my heart for Trevor Bauer ever since his 69 days of giving and all of his social media stuff out there against the Houston Astros. I'm okay with him. And I'll take a guy who was the pitcher of the month last month at plus money. You know, I understand Fried was good. I agree with you. The Braves have a better lineup. But I'm going to go Cincy in this one. I do think that Bauer does have a slight starting pitching edge. But to your point, you know, I think much like Cole Bieber yesterday, it's an important point that these teams did not face each other throughout the season. And so no one has had at-bats on this version of Max Fried. No one has had at-bats against this version of Trevor Bauer. So it will be different what we see. All those stats and trends from during the season may have to go out the window in this one. I still do believe in Trevor Bauer. I personally think he's the better quality pitcher. I'm going to take him at plus money. When we keep on going, the next one, as we go through the day here, Kev, at 2 o'clock Eastern, Wrigley Field will open their playoff series. It is a best of three. The Chicago Cubs take on the Miami Marlins. Now, we know this pitching matchup, right? Kyle Hendricks against Sandy Alcantara. Here's what I want to tell you, Kev. I think the fact that the Cubs or any of the teams in the NL Central have not seen these young, you know, fireballer Miami Marlins pitchers, Alcantara, whether it's Sixto Sanchez later on, I think that could be different. They haven't seen these guys. These are live arms, and it could be hard first time around. I know Kyle Hendricks, probably you give him the edge in the pitching matchup. The Cubs are minus 166 on the money line. You know, I was listening to Alex Rodriguez on the telecast for the Yankees yesterday, and he was on this Marlins team, and he thinks that some of these young Marlins starters are exciting and first time around could be tough for the Cubs lineup to handle.
Now, what's really interesting about this game is that there's no total posted. And
there is not.
This is why Wrigley Field is hilarious. Because that's why the total, it has to be the reason why the total isn't posted.
What's the win doing? Know, that's what we got to find out.
That's exactly. Clearly, they are not confident enough in the win reports that they have to post a total. Obviously, because there's no other reason to not post the total. Every other game, right? I mean, they were, you know, the Yankees game two was posted basically as soon as game one was over. So they don't know what to do here with the total. I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Might Sandy Alcantara go out there and make it a tough day for Cubs bats? I think that's possible. I think this is someone who was certainly the best pitcher on this staff all season long. But he's going up against, again, a very good arm in Kyle Hendricks, who, remember when we started the year thinking that pitchers weren't going to go deep into games, and then Hendricks was like, let me just let everybody know that's nonsense, complete game shutout
opening day, yeah.
of the year. Like, it was just amazing. I look at these two teams here, and I said it yesterday, it feels like a series that could get weird. I think every aspect of the Cubs I trust more, but maybe it's just a game where we wait until they have to decide on the total, decide on the wind, and we roll that direction. Because I don't know if I want to lay 166 with the Cubs.
So wait a second, let me just clarify here. Are you saying that we're waiting on the total, but that ultimately your lean or play on this game would not necessarily be a side, but just riding the wind at Wrigley?
Yeah, I think
so. If the wind's blowing in, you're betting the under. If the wind's blowing out, you're betting the over. Is that kind of the analysis at this point, as opposed to focusing on the side in this game?
And honestly, I might even be, and this is, by the way, why I'm sometimes a total buffoon when I bet baseball. I might just go the other way. Like, if it's blowing out, I might just bet under and then hope the strikeout pitchers are working. And if it's blowing in and they post a super low total, let's just hope the bats can mash. I might go against the wind. And again, that might not work out very well. There's a reason why the total isn't posted. But we'll see what the total is.
All right,
I mean, how high can the total be, Dane, at the end of the day? Like,
if
the wind is blowing out. And I saw yesterday people saying
that. And it's during the day. I mean, it matters. It matters, Kev, especially in a day game. I could see it getting to 8.5 or maybe even 9. Depends on the wind. But let's put it this way. If you don't feel tremendously strong about it, we'll move to the next game where maybe you have a stronger. Because literally, your picks for this one aren't blowing in the wind. So
do you have to the next a lean game. On this one?
I think Hendricks is too good. I don't like the minus 160. I'd be intrigued even by the run line. I'd be intrigued by the run line on this one, and that
also
hasn't come out
posted.
Either. That hasn't come out either, right? So we're still clearly waiting for some information in this one. I am a heavy believer in the wind at Wrigley during day games being the predominant factor for the total, though.
Yeah.
So I will say that if there is strong wind blowing in or out, I would tail that as opposed to being contrarian with that, as Kevin suggests. There is another game. Let's talk about it. We're on the opposite side of this one. Remember, if you weren't with us in yesterday's show, out of these eight series, I think Kevin and I only are on the same side on three of them, right? And they were different, you know, yesterday. Like, I was on Oakland, he was on Chicago. Chicago gets the job done, right? I was on Houston, he was on Minnesota. Houston gets the job done. So, you know, there a lot of this is up in the air. Another series that we were on opposite sides on are the St. Louis Cardinals, who go to San Diego to take on the Fathers, Paddock versus Kim in this matchup. I guess my biggest question is for you here on this one, not the pitching matchup, but like, do you think there is any lasting effects of the damn schedule the Cardinals have had to maintain for the last 2 weeks, Kev?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, none that we can point to. They played, you know, they played good enough baseball to close out the year, get themselves in a position where they didn't have to play the Monday doubleheader against the Tigers. I don't think that if there is, I don't think we've seen anything to tell us that's the case.
All right, so if you don't think that's going to be an impact, what will be an impact in this game? Is it really going to be Paddock versus Kim? Will it be if some of these young studs on the Padres line up, you know, shine bright when the spotlight is on? We have seen that in the past, right? Last year in the playoffs, we saw Juan Soto emerge. We're excited about some of these young White Sox that we think can, like, shine on the stage. What about some of these young Padres that'll have their opportunity as well?
So this is a spot here that's super interesting, man. And the fact that the ball is being given to Hwang Young Kim, I don't think should be overlooked here. So I'm leaning, right, like a lot of spots. I'm like, I'll just take the better offense. It's just almost kind of like a position that I'm rolling with here. And I don't think there's really an argument for the Cardinals' offense over the Padres. But we got to try and be able to spot value when it's there. And, of course, pitching still matters a ton.
Right.
And, Dan, I think there's an argument to be made that the better pitcher is priced at plus 148, at least based on the season. Certainly not a name value, but on the year, you know, Hwang Young Kim maybe doesn't have as many starts under his belt as Chris Paddock, but he's pitched to an ERA below a 2. Paddock's pitched to an ERA above a 4. So this is a spot for me where I think if I'm going to have to make a play on the side here, there, like, look at the other spots where, you know, you're kind of, oh, I've got the better pitcher, right? Even in that game where we disagree with the Braves and the Reds, right? It's plus 114 on bat, right? Like, it's not a monstrous plus number, right? Like, if you think Carrasco is better than Tanaka, it's plus 108. You know, this is the second biggest dog on the board, only trailing behind the team that plays the LA Dodgers. So just from a value perspective, I find it hard to argue against the Cardinals. But value is nothing if you lose the bet.
Right. Can I ask you this? And I can't believe this sentence is about to come out of my mouth. Okay. And we've talked about also when you talk about the pitching and how Paddock is actually pitching to over 4. I've mentioned this throughout the season, right? It's actually Zach Davies and Danielson Lament who have been the studs at the top of the Padres rotation. Paddock has pitched to a 4 ERA. Clevinger did start off slow and then was really good in his more recent starts before the injury. This is the sentence that sounds weird to me. Are the Padres getting inflated? Have they sort of become a public team? You know, because of, you know, the trades that were happening, the era of good feelings with Fernando Tatis, even the damn uniforms, you know, like, are they a public team now that just people want to start getting behind? Is the momentum there? And can that be part of the reason why they're all the way, as you said, you know, kind of like the second biggest favorite on the board? Is there a little bit of artificial inflation just because of, like, the narrative that people want to hop on with San Diego, maybe?
No, I think there is, and I don't. Like, very quietly, Fernando Tatis didn't finish the season very strong. Like, Manny Machado had a better year than Fernando Tatis. And I'm sure that'll surprise some to hear, but it's what it is. Like, now, Manny Machado's an awesome player. There's no shame in
sure.
that. My point is,
he's got $300 million.
right. But, like, basically, the Padres got to a point, right? But then they kind of got locked into the 4. And
right.
This is where it's difficult because the Padres aren't the Lakers or, you know, a team with, like, a postseason rep. The Yankees, even. I don't know why I'm going to basketball. But, like, they're not the Yankees, right, with, like, postseason reps. But a world where the Padres saw they couldn't catch L.A., but no one could catch them, and they just are like, all right, let's just start the postseason, I can't argue against.
Can they flip the switch? We'll see tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, right here to The Early Line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Dane and Kevin trying to put the fun in functional sports content and give you the information you need. Kev, you mentioned in the previous matchup, right, that the Padres are like a big favorite today at minus 170. They're the second biggest favorite on the board because the Dodgers get into action to finish off the slate tonight. Game one in Chavez Ravine. It's Buehler versus Suter, and I'm at like minus 245. Are the Dodgers. Do I think the Dodgers are going to win? Yes. Will I lay minus 245? No. So, Kev, call me crazy. Is there, like, a different way to play this game where maybe I can get a piece of LA and not have to lay crazy juice? Do you play the run line? Do you have another way? Are you touching this total, which stands at 8? How are you trying to see this game and make money off of it?
So once we got these lines posted, I felt even more confident in the way we wanted to approach this series yesterday. We're going to go to the series line. We're going to click on more wagers. We're going to go down to correct score. We're going to get. Mm-hmm. We're going to bet the Dodgers 2-0. I didn't look up on a parlay calculator. I don't know if your incredible math skills can tell me what the odds on a minus 245 parlay should be. I think it might be still minus money, though. Like a two-team, both at minus 245 parlay. And it's obviously not a guarantee that both spots are 245. But if, like, Kershaw's on the mound tomorrow, it might even be higher than 245. Mm-hmm. But my point is it's plus 110 for the Dodgers to win 2-0. Simply put, depending on the kind of bettor you are, they win today, you can hedge off and lock in profit tomorrow. They lose, you got them at plus 110, and you didn't have to lay minus 245. And also, for, as someone, by the way, I'll just say quickly, who was thinking about taking this team at plus 130 to win the NL pennant, for only 20 less bucks, I have to wait 2 days to potentially win a bet, as opposed to having to wait, I mean, my goodness, until whenever the NL pennant champion's going to be crowned. So I think Dodgers at plus 110, up 2-0, I think it's one of my favorites on the board.
All right, so, you know, they got to get the first one if they're going to sweep them, right? And that will happen tonight with Walker Buehler on the hill. It gets you to – it's still minus money, I believe, though, Kev. Mm-hmm. You know, say roughly minus 250 if we use round numbers, right? If you do that twice, I do think you are still in minus money. But it's right around even if that's the way you want to play it. But you have found a way to play this. Yep, it could be if that's the way you want to skin it. We turn our attention to the NBA Finals. After this, in hour number two of the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.